The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Flow Podcast, Joshua Adam Way Marathon, with the ultimate baby face, Mr. Joel Johnson.
Well, are you, am I getting called up, Josh?
I don't know, I'm confused.
I don't even know how to really say, so I'll just let you keep talking, because I'm lost for words.
Okay, so we had gotten word about this afternoon. It was broke by PW Insider and then confirmed by John Pollock.
And then the WWE Twitter confirmed it as well.
Yeah, and then the WWE Twitter confirmed it as well, that four NXT talents, two of its main champions, were backstage at Raw. Tommaso Ciampa, the champ, Johnny Gargano, the North American champ, Ricochet and Aleister Black. And then Jericho came out.
Jericho.
So I have the dirt sheets in front of me with the name Jericho that I see at the last second. Triple H came out. Triple H comes out and does a spew about NXT and about them going to the Hall of Fame. And then, yeah, it gets the NXT stuff. And, yeah, he gives a kind of a rundown on the four talents that we're going to see, and then those talents did stuff on Raw, and we don't know if they're permanently on there or what's going on. I'm guessing they're debuting. They kept on saying debut on Raw, and with the results that happened, it's hard to believe that definitely two of them aren't staying around.
I have no clue. Like, they all got wins. It was a clean sweep. I thought, okay, well, Ricochet getting the win is fine. That's all well and good. And Black.
It's a tag match. You can go back to Finn and Lashley. It's fine.
Yeah. And Finn and Ricochet. And Ricochet probably looked the best at all four. I think the crowd wasn't the best tonight.
No, it sucked. I disagree, though. I think who I thought looked the best.
I thought Ricochet looked the best. That's my pick out of the four.
Sure.
But Ricochet got a win, and then DIY got a win, or Evil DIY, Johnny and Ciampa, whatever you want to call them, they got a win. And then Aleister Black got a win, which made sense. I was hoping it was just a quick kick, and that was
it. I don't like the match. I was like, I'm sure there's going to be talked about all the pundits today. How was that not just a black mass?
Such an easy way to establish. And that's why I don't necessarily think he's called. But then again, that would be such a WWE thing to do.
It's 100% a WWE thing to do. It should have been the same thing with EC3 against Ambrose. And EC3 wasn't even on the show tonight. So whatever that is. These latest NXT call-ups have not been great. The ones before these ones, I guess. I thought Ciampa, when he came out, felt like a star. I just felt like he felt like a mega super duper star, and I thought he looked really good in the ring. I thought Ricochet looked great too, but I thought Ciampa looked like a mega star coming down to the ring tonight.
Yeah. No. I don't disagree with that. I think he definitely had that presence.
The way he carried himself and the music. I thought Ricochet looked good in the ring. It's unfortunate Ricochet didn't get like the full entrance, but I guess out of all the people, he didn't really fully need it. Aleister Black needed the entrance the most.
Yeah.
And he felt big, but then I think the 50-50 booking in the match didn't really work for him. DIY and the Revival, them beating the Revival leaves all kinds of questions, and we know what's coming this Wednesday with the weird taping of, is the Dream the champ or is Gargano the champ? So that just adds the speculation to that match now.
Yeah.
So NXT just became must watch, because you're going to wonder, are they going to mention anything about this on NXT?
Yeah, Yeah, because they probably can record stuff and have things set. The other thing with all of this is, I wonder if it's like a half where Johnny and Ciampa are there because they're the champions, and then Ricochet and Black are their real call-ups. Though I'd like to keep Ricochet in NXT, but I think Vince...
I'm also wondering, Joel, are we getting these four tonight, and then on SmackDown tomorrow, we're getting, like...
Undisputed?
Undisputed, or, like, Dream and Riddle and Keith Lee? Like, I don't know what to think about anything. Like, I'm wondering if we're going to get something on SmackDown tomorrow.
See, and this is where the fan in me is like, why couldn't they just debut it all on SmackDown? Because... Just load up the SmackDown roster. I don't care about Raw. I truly don't. Well, let me rephrase that. There's a good chunk of Raw I don't care about. I like the Heyman vignette for Seth Rollins. I thought he did a really great job building to that program. I care about that. I'm always
Brock never played in the NFL. Never happened.
Pardon?
Brock never played in the NFL. Never happened.
No?
He went he left WWE and went right to the UFC. And then he never lost in the UFC. Everyone he faced killed him. He killed them. Like, he never faced Cain Velasquez and got his ass kicked. He beat everybody. Yep.
Well, hey, I'm okay with them rewriting history, because at the end of the day, when that curb stomp gets hit,
yeah,
it'll be wonderful. I care about...
It's the curb stomp.
Oh, man.
Gets hit in a match. Let's not get to conclusions with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Let's not get to conclusions.
Oh,
we've been down the street with conclusions about Brock at Mania or a Big Show when we think he's losing the title.
If Brock's going to lose to Roman, that's the most logical booking there is.
I called it.
I didn't. The
greatest win ever.
Your only win ever. Okay. You're right.
Cannot guarantee anything.
And this
get out of the WWF.
And this ties into why my heart fell into my stomach when I heard that all four of these guys were debuting tonight. Is they're nice shiny toys now, but Vince has the attention span of a hummingbird. And he'll be like, Johnny Gargano. We can't call him Johnny Wrestling. And you even heard it where Renee was talking about what Johnny was doing in the ring. And he's like, this is why they call him Johnny Wrestling. And Michael Cole jumps right in and is like, no, Renee, he's actually Johnny Takeover. It's like,
oh boy.
I'm like, oh, well, I guess Johnny Wrestling is going to die.
How long till Tommaso is just Ciampa?
Oh, it's... Vince has already got a permanent marker, and he's drawing on the website on his computer screen, crossing out Tommaso.
It was actually, by the way, funny when Tucker Knight and Dozovich came out. Like, he still has, like, he now he's just Otis or whatever. He still has Dozovich on his ring gear, which I just found just fantastic.
One hand doesn't.
And they pulled up, his Twitter handle, and it said WWE Doshevik.
Oh man!
But it's just Otis. And I think Tucker Knight said WWE Tucker Knight.
You know, you gotta change them. We'll lose all the names. How long before
Tucker Otis? No Knight, no Doshevik.
How long before Aleister Black is just Black?
Never. Maybe never. Just Aleister though.
It doesn't work, because then Black Mass and all that. I don't
know. Oh, but it can't just be Black.
Is Johnny just going to be Johnny Gargano?
It could just be Gargano.
Yeah, we don't need a Johnny here.
I'm assuming Johnny Gargano will stay Johnny Gargano. But Tommaso Ciampa will not be Tommaso. He will be just Ciampa. There's no way Vince is going to... How long will Vince be Tommaso? What the fuck kind of name is that?
Oh, see, and that's the thing. That's the heart. I know we're having a little fun right now. But that's the heart of my fear with these call-ups. And this is why I hold NXT so near and dear. Because that's probably my favorite... That's my second favorite... Well, that's my favorite weekly actual wrestling show. my favorite wrestling show right now is BTE, but for actual wrestling, NXT is there, and it's exactly where it should be.
And it's a must. It's probably the biggest must. It was already maybe the biggest must watch NXT of all time this Wednesday.
Oh, I wonder if that's why they did this, and all these guys are still going to be down there. I feel like for sure Johnny and Ciampa will be at the takeover. Brooklyn.
They could be doing double duty, and same with Sasha and Bayley, because Sasha and Bayley confirmed tonight they will defend the women's titles in NXT.
Good.
So that means that we could have some talent doing double duty. Maybe they even just say, we don't want to do Sasha and Bayley there. I mean, even if it is Trish and Lita, doing Trish and Lita and Bayley and Sasha may be better to just do that in NXT, to be completely honest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, because I look at all four of these guys, and you say Ciampa felt like a big star, and he absolutely does. And you want to know why he feels like a big star? It's because of everything they've done in NXT.
Oh, and the music, I think his music really, it's funny, though, because it's like, you see these entrances, and we're so used to seeing them sparingly, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a part, too, like, seeing that Ciampa entrance in a big arena setting like that, and same with Gargano and Black and Ricochet, I'm so used to seeing in a sparing setting.
Yeah.
So right now it's still really special when I see a big arena with Ciampa come out or Gargano or any of these guys come out, and that wears off soon. Like, it took me, I'd say, about a month to skip through Nakamura on PVR.
Yeah. I mean,
and that was inconceivable to me maybe a year prior that I would skip a Nakamura entrance. But it's like, okay, Nakamura's out, whatever. Same with Finn, same with KO, same with Joe, like, it was like, especially Nakamura and Bobby. And Bobby's just not even, I don't even think about Bobby Roode's name anymore. Like, yeah. Oh yeah, that he is a glorious name. That's a thing.
And see, that's the other side with all of this. They all looked great tonight, and they all looked dominant, and they all looked fantastic. But you're making me a little nervous, because you have a history of taking what should be a layup. And by no means am I one of the guys that are like, these guys have to be in the main event, they have to be winning the world titles, this has to happen now. No, you don't have to rush anything, but you have to give these guys a fighting chance when they get into here. Because not everyone watches NXT. Not everyone's savvy to it. So you really got to give them a chance to thrive and survive in the main roster. And if they don't, then that just tells you that they were just an NXT act, and that's fine, but you have to give them a chance. And I don't feel like anyone outside of Finn was given a chance right off the hop. And Finn,
Owens,
well, KO,
Owens, yeah, yeah, KO, yeah,
yeah,
KO, and then the women.
Yeah, well, the women, but how really and truly the only woman that was positioned to succeed was Charlotte.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them all started to fade away. Becky,
Sasha was in there for a bit.
And Sasha was there for such a limited bit.
She had the feud with Charlotte with all the first times, but Charlotte carried on the most, I would agree.
Yeah. And then she just, they just mucked everything up with Bayley, and it hurt Sasha's the level that she could get to, and I believe she still can get to. So I look and I see Johnny, and it makes me sad. I'm happy for these guys, because obviously this is where they're working to be. They want to be on the main roster. They want to have WrestleMania moments. I mean, Tommaso Ciampa had attempted to take his life at one point, and now he's got Goldie, and he had a fantastic Valentine's Day. And he got to debut on Monday Night Raw. Johnny Gargano is a lifelong wrestling fan. Aleister Black had killed it on the indies. Ricochet's been a lifelong fan, and he's been setting the world ablaze.
By the way, it was mental to see Ciampa do the clap and the pat in the back on Monday Night Raw. Yeah. That was weird. That was just weird.
And like, you look at all these guys, and it's great, because they all deserve it. If we're going to talk about the NXT 6 that I think we could talk about, it's Ciampa, Gargano, Ricochet, Black, Adam Cole, Bebe, and then Velveteen Dream. Yeah.
who I can't rule out being on SmackDown tomorrow.
I mean, this could be just a show. This could be a showcasing NXT, and it could be keeping status quo, because it's a very my other issue with this is a very weird time to bring these guys up.
The weirdest time, like we're expecting these guys to be on Raw in a month and a half, maybe. Not tonight. Not in the middle of the build to Mania on the way to your second last pay-per-view before then, when you just are kind of in this weird in-between situation.
Yeah, and you've got so many things in flux where you're trying to find the card. You already have a crowded roster. You're going to have a couple multi-man matches on WrestleMania. Now you've added four quality talents that you've just given big rubs to. So now the expectation is you have to book them and push them forward. You can't let them have tonight and then cool them off and then be like, well, see, NXT, not that great. You got to follow through. And to me, you had four other people that you called up, Lacey Evans, Heavy Machinery, EC3, and there was another one, wasn't there?
Lars.
Well, Lars seems to...
DUI.
Yeah.
I think, for all we know, Meltzer had reported today when asked about Cena WrestleMania programs, he said Cena's in the card, but those Lars plans are scrapped. Lars is done with those plans at least. So, and you had mentioned Lars that joins the Church of Scientology.
Well, he had sent a tweet saying that he was going to join the Church of Scientology and since deleted it. So, I have no clue what's going on in that side, and best probably not to know what's going on over there.
Also, we should say, before he came out, some pretty gross things that he had said had been leaked too. Probably not coincidental that everything going on with him not wanting to debut and being scared and those coming out probably didn't help with the whole situation with Lars.
No, not at all. I understand why, but why call these four guys up when you haven't even figured out where Heavy Machinery is going, where Lacey Evans is going in EC3? You have already three NXT projects. Now you have potentially seven to five.
And you've got to think there's someone after Mania, because that's just what we do. We have to have one debut after Mania that excite people.
So you can't.
It can't just be Sami Zayn coming back. I love Sami, but that can't be the big after Mania surprise.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing. Suddenly, roster is going to get more and more bloated. It's going to get more and more crowded. More people are going to be fighting for TV time, and it's going to become you're only going to have a certain number of people on television. My thing is, I'd almost say leave them all in NXT. And let them travel a bit. Let them maybe do a couple things here on SmackDown. Because it creates that little bit of surprise about people kind of cross-pollinating. You have Raw, SmackDown, NXT, 205 Live, NXT UK, and potentially more down the line. You have five brands. Guys don't have to permanently stay there. You have your staples. But as we've learned... the draw is not necessarily the person anymore. It's more the brand and who's on it. But if you can create that solid foundation for your brand and have, like the territory days, where people would come in and do programs and then disappear and go over to the next... have Ciampa do a program on Raw, ultimately lose after a couple months, then he goes over to NXT UK and does a program. It's a different spot. It's a different setting. And it creates, this guy that was on Monday Night Raw is on NXT UK. This is really cool. This is a guy that was there, and now he's doing something else. He's feuding with a different person, and it's keeping these guys fresh. Because like you said, hearing Ciampa's music, hearing Johnny's music, hearing Black's, and hearing Ricochet's, and hearing the one and only After the Win... It means something, but we get to the point now as wrestling fans with how WWE does things to the point where these guys lose a little bit of their luster because they're overexposed. Let them travel. You don't have to pigeonhole them into brands and force them onto certain certain things, because then they get lost in the shuffle if you don't have real plans with them. That was the other thing with this call-up, is unless you have a definitive plan for these guys, then you're just paid them to come in and go to catering. Like, and they're way too talented to just pay them to go into catering.
Yeah, I mean, and we're talking too, like, the just the oversaturation of the talent, by the way. Like, guys like Mojo, who had this weird thing going on, he's now relegated to these network promos now as well. Like, there's just No Way Jose is another one, right? There's just all these talents, and I don't know, it's just an oversaturation. Like, Jericho brought it up the best with Tony Khan, saying, like, we almost have our limit of guys, but we don't want to overdo it. We want to make sure everybody has a spot. And on the roster now, it's just too bloated. And, I mean, now you hear SmackDown may go to 3 hours. You're kind of like, maybe SmackDown needs to go to 3 hours because the roster needs it.
Yeah, I mean, how much have you really seen from Rusev and Lana on SmackDown?
Well, there's a lot of rumors going around about them right now.
Yeah, that could be.
They got fired from Total Divas. And Ronda, I guess that's a side news story, by the way. They're not on Total Divas next season, but Ronda is. So whatever you think about Ronda and the rumors of her leaving, don't know how much that is now because she's on Total Divas.
Man, you just – and because you told me the reason why they got the axe. Mm-hmm. And it's just – Rusev was one of those guys that could draw me into Total Divas.
Dude, my brother-in-law has to watch it with my sister. And he was like, that was the reason I watched it, because that guy and Daniel Bryan were hilarious. I mean, I used to love watching. I just kind of fell out of watching it. I saw it tonight on Totabella's Peter from The Bachelor was on there, which will be an interesting job for them just because that guy was supposed to be The Bachelor, and now Nikki's doing stuff with him, but I digress. It was just interesting for like someone like my brother-in-law, hasn't been a wrestling fan for years, but people just see Rusev, or people that I know watch Total Divas with their girlfriends and don't really watch wrestling. They just fell out of wrestling or they never were a fan. Saw Ruru and they're just like, that guy's a star.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. You saw who's on the top half of the SmackDown 6 right now for the main roster. It's Brian, Kofi, Kofi / New Day, Randy, Joe, Hardy, though I would sub Hardy out. I don't know how much more he can do. AJ and Mustafa Ali is in that conversation, and now Knock is kind of
not. And you didn't even mention Rey or Andrade, who haven't been on SmackDown for the last few weeks.
Yeah,
I think they're saving that for Mania now.
Yeah, I think that, and you absolutely have to. Yeah, this is the thing, and my other big gripe. This is all gripes. I'm really happy for all of them. It's really cool. I got really excited when I got to see this.
Yeah, like Ricochet said, he's just a kid from Kentucky.
Yeah, like this is overly cool, but the fact that I'm not going to get to see these 20-minute exciting matches from these guys anymore, just because of how the main roster is and how it's structured and how it will continue to be structured for years down the line.
And I mean, the thing is, too, like, we talk about the main roster being bloated. NXT's bloated now because they're trying to get people away from ROH and AEW and Japan. And they have Matt Riddle they got to push. They have Keith Lee. They have Donovan Dijak. They have Trevor Lee. They have AGH. And, they're going to have Kushida in about a month or so here.
Oh, I keep forgetting about Kushida. Holy crap. Oh, well, I want Kushida versus Ricochet, and I want Kushida versus Johnny. No. Vince,
so that's don't take why like the roster me. The roster's so bloated for the men's side, right? Like Dijak hasn't really got to do anything. I'm not calling him Dijokovic. His name is Dijak. It's a lot easier to say. That's the one miscue that Hunter's had is calling him Dijokovic.
Yeah.
Let's call him Dijak. Even he doesn't have to be Donovan Dijak. He can just be Dijak. It's fine. But there's all the talent down there. Like Keith Lee hasn't even had a match yet. It's funny too. Like you look at guys that you should call up. Maybe like the four they called up. It's like I really have no problems. Lacey Evans wasn't really ready.
Yeah.
But it's like I get it. Whatever. It's not the end of the world. It's not like I wanted her to have any matches. Like if they were to call up like Aaliyah, for example, it's like, well, whatever. Or like, or Reeves, then it's like, sure, call up Keanu Reeves, call up Aaliyah, call up Tino Sabarelli, call up Cassius, call up those type of people, see what they can do, right? I think kind of like we do with Noho Eze, but these guys, it's no disrespect to Lafayette, but it's not the city you should debut them in. And it should be an after WrestleMania, because then you get that pop.
Yeah.
When they heard One and Only, that crowd would have gone mental if no one knew about it either. And that after Mania crowd heard One and Only, or they hear the Ciampa song, or they hear DUIs in a match, you do it in Lafayette, and it's nothing, because a lot of these are just regular fans that don't even really watch NXT.
Yeah. I mean, you look at it, I thought the Revival and DIY match was great.
Mm-hmm.
But the crowd was subpar.
Yeah, and it was terrible.
And that's my thing.
It's Mardi Gras there in, like, Louisiana. Or is it Mardi Gras season? So maybe that's why someone said. I talked to a Louisiana native that's a friend of mine. He's like, well, that's probably why. I'm like, that's a stupid excuse. Plus, Mardi Gras is in New Orleans. So that, why is that an excuse?
Yeah, I'd like to hear the reason why they chose. Because you got to understand, NXT is for you and me. It is for the hardcore wrestling fans, the guys that will go out and watch Rev Pro and OTT and look and see Pac's finger bent sideways and be gross and be like, oh, Marty Skrull's on the wandering around. Pac dislocated his finger and his finger is pointing opposite of the well, to the side.
Jeez. We still got to see that,
that was
Neville and Ospreay match.
Yeah. I heard it was good, and then I've heard the OTT show was good with Pac and Walter and Devlin and David Starr.
We will possibly be reviewing that in the next few days here. No confirmation, but we're trying our best.
Yeah. That's what cities you should be marketing these four to at the start. Because then my thing is...
Well, Joel, guess where they are in 2 weeks?
They're in Chicago, aren't they?
Cleveland.
Oh, Johnny.
Yes.
Oh, man, that sucks.
Like, I don't... Like, what? I just... and obviously, the reason we did this is we like to normally have a little bit more information stuff when we do it, but we kind of wanted this to be kind of in the moment of, like, what is going on? Just, I haven't been this confused about anything, and... It doesn't seem like the pundits, like the people that know stuff, really know what's going on. So it's all very interesting with all this. I mean, again, I agree with you, Joel. It's exciting to see them tonight. I got goosebumps seeing Ricochet on there and just thinking about, man, three years ago, we're talking about Will Ospreay and Ricochet and how this match, if it's good or bad for wrestling, and then that Pardon the Interruption show that WWE had on the network. They mentioned it, and it was like, oh, man, they mentioned Ricochet. This is crazy. And tonight he's on Raw. That's bonkers to me. And then Tommy End, we watched him at a Ebola show two 3 years ago as well that had that five-star match
with
the Elite against Ricochet in that match and Ospreay. I can't remember who else was in there, but it's just weird, like watching Battles of Los Angeles with these guys in it. And now they're on Raw.
Well,
it's weird.
Like, rewind back a bit, and you see, I remember DIY first coming in, and I remember Ciampa versus Joe. And I remember hearing that it was a decent match. So I watched it, and they just beat the hell out of each other. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And then, I think this is different for us, because I think there's a real emotional connection to DIY, because we saw them win their first WWE titles in Toronto.
Yes, live. It really mattered. It mattered to us. Like, it mattered like how the Sharks just lost to the Bruins, and that's good for Flames fans.
That's good bit of news. I'll take that.
That's great news. But, yeah, no, it mattered. And like even when they mentioned tonight that... The match in Toronto, I'm like, ha ha ha, I've been there, but that match obviously sticks out and that rivalry matters. So at least someone that's paying attention knows that rivalry matters. I don't know if they thought maybe it would give a bump in the ratings on a night where there's no competition. They don't have to go against the NBA tonight. as far as America goes. So maybe they thought that was a thing. Since it was the holiday, maybe they would generate. It's President's Day in the States. It's Family Day up here in Canada. Maybe they thought that would generate stuff. I don't know what they were thinking with any of it.
No. And like you said, we saw that live. So there's an emotional connection. And I remember watching them versus AOP, Revival, DIY, and AOP, and that being a great match. Like, they're just an emotional connection to all these guys. Like, I remember when Black won the NXT title, and you just saw how happy he was and how excited he was. It was much like Bobby Lashley when he won the IC title. And I don't know, I feel like if you're going to do these call-ups, you got to do them at the right time, not in the middle of the road to WrestleMania. If you were going to call these four up, they should have been called up heading into after the Rumble.
You should. You know what? It's like having like a big show, right? And you can go big in the season premiere or the finale. But imagine like Game of Thrones or something right now being like, hey, all these really good characters, we're just going to put them in like the third episode or like the second last, like True Detective right now. And they're just like, we're just going to throw all these characters in there right now for no reason. It'd be like, what? We could have just done this next season. We don't need this right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. It's really weird. It's really bizarre. I mean, I guess the best example of that may be like Saul, Better Call Saul. I don't know. It's just weird timing for everything. It's February 18th. It's a downtime really for the industry right now. Like the industry's booming, don't get me wrong, but as far as what you expect from Raw, it was a holiday. You really didn't need to do it. The rating's going to be what the rating's going to be. I mean, if you really wanted to pump up the rating, just try to get The Rock there to promote your damn movie. Probably would have done better than the NXT talents, to be completely honest.
Yeah, like this, and this is the thing. We love those guys, but casual fans, people that are more likely to go to these shows, more than likely don't know who these four are. And you can see Ricochet, and that's why I said Ricochet did well, was because he won the crowd over with his offense.
Yeah, good point. Great point.
But it's still one of those situations where, like, if they debuted in front of a hot crowd, maybe that gives them a little bit of a chance. But remember Nakamura's debut 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago?
Yeah, the weird thing against The Miz, but it was crazy. Ty Dillinger's!
Yep. The Revival.
Tyler Breeze.
When the music hit for certain, Bobby Roode, when the music hit for certain guys, the whole crowd was going crazy, but we then see where all their careers have gone. So maybe this is good to have them debut in something small and build them up. But
maybe
you when they debut, you have to have something for them. And WWE has proven time and time again that they are not looking to the future. They're looking for a quick fix. A quick fix, and then they'll worry about it next week. Quick fix, next week. Move on to the next week. They're not looking long-term. Like, as of right now, according to Dave Meltzer, Kofi Kingston is not Daniel Bryan's opponent for WrestleMania. That could change, but I would not be shocked if Kofi is wrestling Bryan at Fastlane, and then that's done and finished.
Yeah, I could see that, or I could see Ali to make up for that, and then they just drop the Kofi thing entirely.
Yep, that's probably the more logical one. Why wrap things up?
I think that's what it could be.
That's the thing. Like, I'm really excited for...
By the way, Big E was asked, how long do you think before Aleister Black changes his name? And Big E said, in my head, he's already Black.
So...
the damn roster already knows.
Oh yeah, they're like, yeah, no, you're gonna lose those. Like, they're probably just calling him Gargano now because I don't think they like Johnny Wrestling as a nickname.
No,
it's not wrestling. Tommy Sports Entertainment, on the other hand,
it's up there. No, as you were saying too, with like they probably would just be like, yeah, it was good effort by Kofi. Good job by him. He was actually never supposed to be in that match, so we just gave him a little bit to give him a little shine, but we have no intention of that. It's probably going to be Cena, or maybe it's Joe, because he went out last, and that makes the most sense to us.
Yeah, logic. Here's a tweet from someone that caught this. Whether this is, I'd have to go back and take a look, but I thought this was interesting. Gargano and Ciampa win a good match to deafening silence. Camera cuts away, and there's a fan doing a Nazi salute in the crowd. Great job tonight. So, why there? New Orleans would have been fine. They really become enriched in wrestling history recently with the number of manias they've had there.
A great takeover.
Yeah, like
those guys had a match in. I don't really know what this is.
And I mean, you know, we've spent 35 minutes talking about the NXT guys, and there was a whole 3-hour Raw. But you look at other facets to Monday Night Raw tonight. Why did Ruby get a match with Ronda?
Why did they do this whole thing with McIntyre and Lashley destroying Strowman and not even talk about it?
Yeah, why weren't
Lashley's back with Leo, which I said was going to happen, and you were like, they're not that bad. Yeah, he just went back like nothing happened. And then Braun just beats him clean. What was the point of that?
You know what it is, and I think I've heard this before, and we've seen this happen before, and I feel like we're the mice that constantly chew the cheese that electrocutes us, and we're like, why is the cheese buzzing us? But the reality is, we know why the cheese is buzzing us, and the reason they probably did this was because they know more people watch Raw than they watch the show, the pay-per-views, and especially a pay-per-view like Elimination Chamber, which I thought had a great main event.
Mm-hmm.
But they probably look at it as like, oh, well, this Elimination Chamber, this isn't one of the big ones, so this one doesn't matter as much. So, yeah, no, Corbin, you can get a win, and then Raw will have the real winners happen.
Like, I didn't really mind the Ruby thing, whatever. She shouldn't have got a rematch, but that didn't bug me as much as you literally set up a whole storyline with these three guys destroying Braun. And then they don't even come out. And then you set something kind of up with Strowman against Heyman?
Yeah, like you're almost already looking past Seth.
Like, I don't understand. Like, and even, like, Drew doesn't even talk about it.
Yeah.
Well, like, Drew just comes out, he beats Ambrose, whatever. Then they do this weird thing with Ambrose, like, thought you had my back, so whatever. Like, I'm not really paying attention to Ambrose stuff. It is what it is. He's probably just gets to do whatever the hell he wants to do right now. It was just a very confusing. It wasn't a bad show. We had a great match at DIY. Ricochet looked great. It was cool to see Black's entrance. I don't like the 50-50 booking. Sasha and Bayley's speech was really awesome. But it just a lot of logically, and it's going to be a recurring thing we have every single night with this, but logically, more than most nights, it just made no sense.
No, and again, it just... And the question goes now. So when we see things on these B pay-per-views, maybe even the A shows, why should we care that...
We shouldn't. That's what they told us tonight. You had me invested in the fact that, okay, I really liked this pairing of Leo and Bobby Lashley, and that looks to be done. Doesn't matter. Okay, now we're setting up a new stable that looks like to go against Strowman, and then we'll maybe have this tag. Cool, whatever. You have to get as many bodies on Mania. Unfortunately, not everyone can have a prime spot. I'm fine with the 6-man tag. I don't even know where that's going to happen now, if that's going to happen.
Yeah. Now, like, you remember when we were booking for on the podcast about what matches we saw? We booked
so much crayon.
And now everything's back to that. We could. It's on a whiteboard where it's like
they could do AJ and Randy tomorrow, for all I know.
Honestly,
I joke, but come on.
At this point, we will finish this show. I will get the show up. We'll wake up tomorrow morning and they'll announce Randy versus AJ. And then we'll be like, well, there goes more of our fantasy booking. Like it's a constant, like I understand that the product is constantly evolving and changing and plans are subject to change. Like,
but it's Mania season. You should know what you're doing in these weeks right now and not bringing these talents up. Yeah, happy to see the talents, not happy to have them with no direction.
Yeah. and very well it could be DIY versus DIY versus the Revival at Mania. But you want to know
versus
how long
Roode and Gable probably.
Yeah, throw them in. I'm fine with Gable being involved.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm good with they've all of them. Gable and Roode have been fantastic matches. So throwing the DIY in there's not going to hurt it. As a matter of fact, in a perfect world, Jason Jordan gets healthy and they form that tag team again, and then you just have that triple threat. That'd be perfect. But the thing is, that match is going to get under 10 minutes. And it's going to be forgotten. It's going to be like, okay, nope, we got to get to the big stuff. There's a pecking order in WWE, and rightfully so, but it also means that these matches that could potentially be great matches and great wrestling moments are under 10 minutes, and you got to get everything in. And someone's going to look like a joke or a clown.
That's why I said for the women's titles, just throw it to NXT. I don't really care. Like, just put it on TakeOver. It's probably better.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. Like, the first time you have Johnny and Ciampa and Aleister Black and Ricochet at Mania, they don't have to win, but they need to have a good showing because you need to establish these guys. Because let's be honest, we talked about it in our Elimination Chamber pod. Who's the number 3 and 4 babyface for Raw? You get
like if they did it now, Ricochet's probably up there.
Yeah, you got Seth is 1 right now, Braun is 2, Finn is 3,
Ricochet's 4.
Ricochet's probably 4. Yeah, I'm trying to think here if there's any other big baby.
Hurts. I guess Kurt. I don't know if he's main.
You gotta establish these guys, and you.
Raw is just such a shit show, man. Like, and I'm not even like saying it like it's just a disaster. Like, I know what SmackDown is, and when talent's like now, like I've kind of just given up on whatever Dillinger was. But now, like, when someone like Andrade and Rey aren't on, it's for a reason. If Randy's not on or Jeff's not on, it's okay. There's some talents that are just diluted, like Nakamura and Rusev, and I don't know what they're doing with them. But everything else on SmackDown works so well with the women and with the men. They obviously had no idea what they're doing with Asuka, so they just left Asuka alone. And I'm fine with that. Just do that then.
Yeah.
Don't throw Asuka into some stupid match or some stupid storyline. We don't know what we're doing with Asuka. Put her to the side, and let's not fuck her up.
Yeah, because sometimes it's better to just leave things be.
Leave it alone. The less you do, the better. Well, less is more.
We've learned that where over time where guys just thrive better when you leave things alone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely do. I think we've gone long enough on what we wanted to go on this. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Any last things before we get out of here, Joel?
I'm just looking at the roster. And just trying to find who's the baby faces.
By the way, how's about what the Elite, that show The Elite crashed? Man, they killed it at that show.
You know, they constantly find a way to have, they're just having fun. And if this is why Kenny Omega signed a contract for 4 years and he's going to have this type of fun, then all the more power to him.
I mean, they want it their way.
Yep.
And they don't want to go breaking anyone's heart.
Oh, man.
Because everybody wants to see them because they're larger than life. And you can see AEW show with these guys the shape of their heart as long as you love them.
I honestly want to see how much longer you can go with this.
I could go forever.
What was I going to say? The other thing is, we talked about him last night. He could be in AEW with Scott Steiner.
Yeah, I think they're changed. So let's go and finish with BTE really quick here, I guess. You and I had thought it was Janela and MGF, and you don't think this, but I really do wonder if it's MGF and Cody. And I wonder if they're going to do Steiner and Janela.
I could absolutely see them do Steiner.
Because it doesn't matter if he gets... Janela's a madman, so facing Steiner, who gives a shit? And it makes sense for Penelope to be with him.
Yep. And then Penelope could turn on Steiner.
Yeah.
And then you just put the world title on Steiner.
Because you still have 3 months for MGF to turn on Cody on BTE.
Well, he already kind of turned on Cody with what he did to Pharaoh. I can't forgive what he did to Pharaoh. That's,
yeah, you know, I can handle him talking to Kazarian, to the Bucks, but you talk to Pharaoh, you've gone against everybody now.
Yeah, that is that heel turn that you're like, oh, this isn't a little heel turn. This is a massive heel turn.
No, because nobody hates Pharaoh.
No.
Is there anyone else that he could have been mean to that could have turned him?
I think it's just Pharaoh at this point.
Yeah, it's just Pharaoh. Maybe Marty.
Yeah, Marty.
Maybe Marty.
Don't go breaking my finger, Marty.
I need to see MGF versus the Walter and the other guy.
Oh.
But yeah, like just disrespecting this. MGF has been the highlight of BTE. I still miss Marty on that, like crazy.
Yeah, well, at the end of April, hopefully he's back.
I just thought, again, and I liked the joke with the t-shirt company thing. I like how they take the meta jokes about themselves and throw it in there and make fun of themselves.
You it just shows how they just don't take it seriously. They don't take the criticism seriously, and they have enough wherewithal to know that they need to make fun of themselves, because they're starting wrestling company. There's going to be a lot of questions, and
when's the other show? May 25th. Yep, looking for May 25th. I was howling at that.
Oh, that was great. That was just solid BTE.
So what's after Double or Nothing? Keep an eye on May 25th.
Oh man,
we do know they have the Jacksonville show though, which I think is really, really cool cause.
Yes I think
that, especially in that area. And Tony Khan had like said too, like obviously with the tragedy that happened at the Madden shooting too, and he's very involved with esports with the NFL. I'm gonna be very interested to see how Tony Khan operates with him, because we asked this with Vince of the XFL. I think we have to ask it with Tony, because he is a full-time employee of the Jags and of Fulham. I'm interested to see how operations go with everything in the fall when he's, or even like coming up with the draft and everything, like how operational everything's going to be when he's full in working his job with the Jags or with Fulham. That'll be the interesting. And I think he put it in the right hands with those guys, but Jericho has said like, he is the big boss. He's Vince McMahon. He is the Vince McMahon of this. So it's interesting for me to see like where everything is as him juggling Fulham and the Jags and a dub.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be an easy thing, and I wonder if he's going to be a little bit more hands-off, or if he's just going to be, they're going to send him creative, and he's going to either give it a thumbs-up or a thumbs-down, and just keep moving from there.
Yeah, you have to almost wonder if eventually maybe he'll back off of Fulham or the Jags as things get ramped up.
Yeah, because I could foresee them hitting TV early next year.
Yeah. I do too. I think they'll do some mini shows and build this up. There's no rush. I think you've seen in the past that how people rush. I kind of like the model that TNA did at the beginning with like the weekly or monthly pay-per-views. I thought that worked really well for them. There's no rush to take this. And as Meltzer said right now, when he was asked like, what's the ranking? He's like, WWE is 1, 2, 1, 2, and 3. Then it's Japan. And then who knows?
Yeah.
I like that answer, because that's the answer right now. We don't know. Like, you can't just say AEW is 3. We don't know what AEW is yet.
I think Meltzer may have said New Japan and AEW is 3.
Right, and then ROH, okay. But thing is, I like where they're going, and I like Tony Khan's answers, and it kind of wraps up to what we've been saying in here of him and Jericho saying, like, we don't want to add a bunch of people just to add a bunch of people. We want to build a roster where everyone has an opportunity to have matches with each other and not oversaturate it, and then, like you said, have people just in the back and catering. Because if we look at the roster for both teams right now, Raw and SmackDown, how many guys can we say like are consistent cater wrestlers right now?
Dillinger, everyone in.
I got the roster right here. So I guess Akam, right? Because he's not the one that's hurt, right?
I believe so.
Apollo, nightly basis. If these guys are in, Apollo for sure.
Yeah.
Bo Dallas.
Yeah.
We don't know what Bray Wyatt's doing.
No, no idea.
I mean, I don't know how much longer they're going to have Kurt Hawkins and Zach on TV.
Yeah, that could fade away and they could be back to...
Dango and Breeze.
Yeah.
Slater and Rhino.
Yeah.
Jinder.
Oh yeah, Jinder's still on the roster.
Mojo. No Way Jose. Apparently Big Show's on the roster. And then like the Ascension, who knows? So that's, I don't know how many. SmackDown, 8 in English. Sanity, if they ever were on SmackDown. Still unknown if they ever were really on SmackDown. The Colognes. The Good Brothers. R-Truth for now, but as soon as he loses that title, no. Shelton. And then Dillinger. The women fluctuate pretty decently.
Yeah.
But, like, consistently, you're not releasing Shelton or Dillinger on any of these shows. And, like, I'd love to see a Shelton Benjamin in NXT. I think he would benefit a lot more from that. Same with Ty Dillinger at this point. Same with Sanity. Can't tell me Sanity wouldn't have good matches against the War Riders.
And
going against those two guys? Like, come on.
And Undisputed again? Like, there's plenty. See, and that's the thing. You got to sign guys just to sign guys, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah, we will see what happens. We have no idea what's going on SmackDown other than it's been reported. Bryan's opponent will be showing. If anything really breaks, we'll be back again this week. And I'm assuming it will be.
Yeah, we're on the road to WrestleMania, and it's kind of a bumpy road.
It was a bumpy Raw, but an exciting Raw. But a very confusing Raw tonight.
There's a lot of emotions tonight. There's a lot of emotions.
Yeah. Well, Joel, thank you again. Make sure you download every other past show we have. We Talk Podcast, Apple Podcast, Stitcher Radio. And until next time, cheers.
Hopefully you're the one and only.
Enjoy the day, people.
Goodbye. And good night. Bang!